Hey friends, welcome back to this week's episode of Fit Friends Happy Hour. This is episode 176 and I'm your host, Katie. Today, I had the pleasure of interviewing fellow certified intuitive eating counselor, Michelle Vigna-Baltas. Michelle is a professionally trained coach and a certified intuitive eating counselor. She supports midlife women who are ready to rewrite their stories around eating, body image, and movement. Her unique approach to living guides women to focus on meeting their own needs and respecting their bodies at all shapes, sizes, weights, and ages without apology. Today, I love that we talk about the specific topic of aging and ageism and how that applies to intuitive eating, because in our society, aging is not always seen as something to be embraced. It's something to fear. We're always chasing this beauty ideal. And so today we really dive into that. And Michelle gives some excellent takeaways for you as you head into your aging journey. Maybe you are going through that process, or maybe you have a mom or a loved one who is struggling with this, because it's something we all go through. It's natural. So can we learn to embrace it? Before we dive into today's interview, don't forget, we love to chat about each episode over on our Facebook page. If you go to the link in the show notes, you can click to join, and there is where we share lots of resources, talk about different topics, and it's a safe space for women like you who are also along this journey to become a healthier, happier you. All right, on to the show. Welcome to Fit Friends Happy Hour, a podcast about all things nutrition, fitness, and life in your 20s and 30s, all from a non-diet lens. I'm your host, Katie Hake, and I'm a registered dietitian nutritionist and certified personal trainer. Join me here every week as I talk with interesting people and experts from all walks of life about the relationship with food, exercise, and their bodies. I am on a mission to help you redefine the word fit, to help you stop quantifying and start living. Learn to stop measuring your success by the scale and find your fears. Welcome, Michelle, to Fit Friends Happy Hour. We're so happy to have you today.
Hi, Katie. Thanks for having me.
And you guys can't see this, but you also have just a beautiful, lovely purple walls. And I am like in my little white, I call it like my Harry Potter cubicle up here.
I actually like the way the ceiling is shaped. It's pretty cool.
It at least adds a little dimension, right?
It definitely does. Yeah.
It's all about perspective. So tell us just about yourself and how you became an intuitive eating counselor, right? Because we are both certified intuitive eating counselors. You have much more experience. You've been doing this a little bit longer than I have. So tell us what you do and how you integrate that work as a body confidence coach as well.
I got into this work like so many of us do from our own struggles and struggled with food for as long as I can remember. And I knew I was ready for a change probably around the time my son was born in 2001. And I just knew that I wanted to somehow integrate, like in quotes, self-help type stuff, motivation, really finding your way. And I started like kind of poking around and, you know, discovered the world of coaching. And I was still healing my relationship with food. And, you know, so in my travels, I stumbled upon, which I believe was not coincidence, on the intuitive eating book in around 2012. And, one thing led to another. I fell in love. I found freedom from food. And I pursued, you know, I left corporate after many years. And I pursued a coaching certification. And then I went on for my certification in intuitive eating. And then I've done like mountains of training since then. But my first love was reading the book and thinking, wow, could this actually be possible for the person that's been eating the way I've been eating and feeling the way I have about my body for so many decades? And the answer is yes, it's possible.
First of all, that just makes me so happy to hear that, because I just love hearing how people's stories, right? Like you said, I don't think it's ever coincidence, but especially when you have experienced so much life and so much dieting. And I think so often we get stuck in our ways, or we believe that because it's always been this way, that's the way it always has to be. So today we're talking about ageism, right? And how that impacts us individually, how it impacts those around us. So explain to our listeners, what exactly is ageism?
Well, I mean, the technical definition for it is, you know, discriminating against someone because of their age. And, you know, that can show up in many different ways. But first, I heard this quote once recently from someone who does a wonderful podcast about aging. And it's, age discrimination is discrimination against your future self. And when I heard that, I was
powerful.
Like, whoa, that just blew my socks off. And it resonated so much with me. And I thought it was so important, such an important quote. So whenever I have an opportunity, I share it with people because, like I said, it really just got me to think in a very different way. And it just added to my patience for myself and for others. And I think it's important to really look at, you know, people's age in terms of how we're treating them, because it manifests in the job market, in the way people treat us, in restaurants, in clothing stores, everywhere. People make assumptions that you will like or dislike or not be interested in because of, oh, well, I didn't think you'd be interested because of your age. And that could be because you're younger or because you're older. You know, I think it can go both ways. It's most typically seen when people are aging, but I think it can go, you know, on the younger side too, you know, so it's another ism that really needs to be dismantled, as far as I'm concerned.
Yeah, that's a great way to put it. And like you said, I think it can show up different ways, right? And so what we're talking about it today is specifically, you know, how does it show up in our society in terms of our health? What does that look like?
Yeah. It has many different faces, but I think specifically for women as they age, and because I work with women exclusively, I have to say this happens to men as well. But for some reason in our society, we often hear, well, you know, men age well and women don't. And there's this, again, I think there's heightened discrimination against women because women have a much higher standard in terms of what they're supposed to look like, at what age, you know. They look, in quotes, haggard, they look tired, they look this, they look that. And men are, you know, it's just different for men. It isn't everything, though. So I think for aging women, it can be very hard because as we approach, you know, perimenopause, menopause, our bodies change. You know, they are supposed to change. And that's really important for people to hear over and over again. I've said before, like my 50-ish body is not supposed to look like my 20, 30-year-old body. It's not supposed to. And if it is, it's probably because I'm not eating well and because I'm over-exercising. And to be frank with you, I don't even know if it would be possible. But I think if it was close to that, it's because I was doing something extremely disordered. And I choose not to do that to myself anymore. So my body looks as it looks, and I'm healthy, and I move my body in ways that are very joyful for me, and that makes me happy.
Our bodies are supposed to change. I want to say that like 100 more times because I mean, we see this on the internet, right? Or we've heard this before, right? I hear this with clients time and time again. I wish I didn't even realize what I looked like then, right? And we always have this different perception of, I wish I looked like younger, right? But recognizing that we are not the same person that we were when we were in high school, 5 years ago, 10 years, right?
Yep.
So like, how does this impact our body image?
Well, for most people, it's not pleasant. In general, I think it's very hard for a lot of people to face aging. And I am going to say very honestly, because that's the way I am, it is not always easy for me either. And this is one of my areas of specialty. I am a human and I am exposed to the same nonsense that everyone else is exposed to every single day. The difference is that I have a lot of tools that I've acquired and a lot of training to help myself come back to earth and realize, oh, right. That's the BS talk that they're trying to make me believe, but I know better. I think we need to stop with the hierarchy of just like we do with bodies, some are better than others, and I'm better is in quotes. I think we need to start believing that, or at least change the conversation around better aging. You know, she looks so good for her age. What is that even supposed to mean? And in fact, I just wrote an Instagram post about this because it hit me like it's very insulting because it's implying that like, well, she looks good for her age. Well, as opposed to what? Like, so if a person doesn't have wrinkles, that means that they look better than someone who doesn't have. It's just, it needs to stop, you know, and we need to go past that thing we first see. And again, remember, as Beauty Redefined says, we need to not see our bodies as ornaments. We need to see them as purposeful, my words, vessels, you know, and we just need to stop and making assumptions that because someone has wrinkles, age spots, whatever it is, graying hair, that they're in some way deficient, you know, and we don't need to be erasing our wrinkles. Like, what's wrong with wrinkles? Like, you know, I may be the only person on earth who feels this way. I know that I'm not. I say that in jest. But I just think it's important that we start to change the conversation around aging because in my book, it's a privilege and it's a gift that is denied by many.
Mm-hmm. And what's interesting, you know, I want to talk about kind of the beauty standards in a minute, but before we go there, intuitive eating is, it's underlying, it's social justice work, right?
Absolutely.
And I think this topic is plays such a huge role that we don't even realize, right? It's like weight is just one piece of the puzzle.
Absolutely.
So what are some challenges that some of your clients struggle with and how do you help them move past this? You know, and we're talking about, I know we work with different age groups, I guess, when women, but even, you know, I'm not even 30 yet and I am already getting bombarded with women around my age who are getting Botox, who are, mm-hmm. you know, talking about all these different skins and creams and serums. And it's like, huh?
Yeah. Yeah.
It kind of blows my mind.
Yes. Yes. And this is an interesting question because, you know, I mainly work with midlife women, but I also work with some teens, which is such an interesting contrast for obvious reasons. But even though their concerns are different, they're kind of similar. Like one of the biggest concerns that my clients have of all ages is movement. And uncoupling that weight piece and changing the way their body looks to intuitive eating and really managing that without slipping back into diet mentality, which is way easy to do. And so the, you know, comments are, again, from my teen clients and also from my women in their 50s, 60s, is I know I, in quotes, should be moving my body, which is that big word, right? Because I need to manage this or this or this, whether it be their stress level, their anxiety, or a medical condition. And yet every time I get on the, say, elliptical or whatever, I think, oh, well, maybe if I do this X number of times a week for X number of minutes, I'll lose weight. And so they start to go right down that path that they used to be on before they kick dieting to the curb. And so what happens is because they don't want to do that, they don't move at all. And so they are like, I want to move, I want to move, I want to move, but I'm afraid to move. And so it causes this inaction and it makes them very sad. So sometimes they come to me with, of course, learning to more easily integrate the principles into real lives to work on body confidence, but a big chunk right now and for a number of years has been exercise resistance. And I know I need to be doing it, but I just can't do it, you know, and I don't think it's a motivation issue because they want to. There's so much under the covers there. And so we start to unpack all of that. And it's a lot of, well, I thought that if I did exercise for this number of minutes, it wasn't enough. I thought if I walked, that wasn't enough. So they're putting up all of these barriers around movement to a point, again, where they're not moving at all. And my feeling is like some is better than none. If you can get in, who knows how many minutes, whatever you got time for. Okay, that's good enough for today. Move on. Next day, you know,
yes.
But it's just to start moving your body in a way that feels good for you, in a way that works for your life now, not your life when you were 20. And I also see a lot of lamenting about, I used to be able to do this and I can't do this anymore and I'm really sad about it and I don't know what to do. I want to dance. I want to do this. I want to do that. And for whatever reason, it could have been a knee injury or something, they can't do the same thing. And so we talk about that and start unpacking that because it is sad. You know, when you used to love doing a certain type of movement and that's what gave you that high and now you can't in the same way. So it's again, like redefining what movement is about, finding that joy in a different type of movement and appreciating your body for what it is able to do at this point in your life.
I love that you said redefining it. I had a female client recently who kind of experienced the same thing we're talking about. She was a runner for so many years, loved doing obstacle, right? Really high intensity, high impact. And here she was in her late 40s, recognizing like, my body can't, she had a double knee replacement, like all sorts of surgeries where, you know, she gets to the point where, no, you literally, it's not a motivation issue. It is, you cannot do this anymore. And it's almost like grieving.
It's definitely, I 100% agree with you. There is a grieving process there. There's no question about it. And I think it's important. I love that you said that word, that people recognize it as grieving because it's a chapter that's no longer. I used to be a runner too. And I had a terrible hip injury. I can't run anymore. And for a while, it made me so incredibly sad because I loved, as long as I had a good pair of sneakers, I could go anywhere, run anywhere I was. That was very freeing for me. And when I couldn't do that, I was like, this makes me sad.
Now what?
Now what? And the now what, there's a lot. There's a lot. And yes, it is different. I'm not going to deny that it's different, but it doesn't mean that it still can't be good in a different way, you know? And I just do my best to stay in the gratitude for, you know, what I'm able to do. I've found yoga. Like, it's funny because I think you change and you would know. I mean, you'd probably have all different types of movement that, you know, you help people to work through. And when I was in my 30s and 40s, like thinking about yoga was like, oh my God, it's too slow for me. I was a diehard like cyclist, the whole nine. I used to ride many, many miles with friends, whatever, spin class. I was almost addicted. I mean, I'm saying it in a joking way. I wasn't addicted, but I loved it so much. And now I'm like, not that I wouldn't do it, but not into it. You change, you change, your body changes. And I know that I could do it, but I don't want to. Like, I'm more into like doing, I don't know, different things now that didn't interest me back in the day, as they say.
It's interesting. It's almost as if a lot of people don't see that connection, right? They see this as my body's changing. It's all about nutrition and aging has to look a certain way, like as far as my body, but it's like the same way we get stuck with our body type. It makes us believe, well, if I do certain types of exercise, like you said, it's not good enough or it's not fill in the blank.
Yes. Yeah. That whole enough, whenever there's like, well, it's not good enough. It's not long enough. You know, it's not rigorous enough. Take the enoughs and leave them at the door and close the door and you be on the other side of it. Because again, all of that and not enoughness is very detrimental. You know, you do what you can. And the first step is just to start developing a habit again and then work on building on that. But you can't like run a 20-mile marathon or whatever. Let's walk around the block first. Let's put a pair of sneakers on. And I always say, it does not need to be an event. Put on a pair of sneakers and walk down the driveway and then walk back. Okay, if that's enough, call it a day. Next day, do the same thing. Like, it has to start so tiny, but that may not be tiny for somebody. That may be a big deal, you know, but it matters because these are all building blocks to developing a relationship with it that can flourish.
I love that. I love that. I think it's this all or nothing mindset that,
yes.
Oh my gosh, we can apply that to so so much in this diet mentality. Where do you see that show up with clients?
It's so much what you say. There's this black and white thing, and we forget that there's a lot of different shades in between. And it is the diet mentality. It is diet culture. It's either good body, bad body. You're either exercising or you're being lazy. Really? I don't think so. It doesn't work that way. You know, it's that perfectionism. It's, which of course starts with our inner critic, you know, and that inner critic is part of us, you know, but they're there. And we need to learn how to coexist with that inner critic, but not let it run the show for us, you know? So when that voice is coming up saying, well, you just walked down the block and you're winded, like, wow, you know, like that could just shut someone right down, you know, instead of good job. You walked down the driveway. You're going to walk back. Okay. Tomorrow. That's fabulous. It's more than you did yesterday, you know? Mm-hmm. So it's quieting that voice so that we can move on with our lives, you know, and just keep doing things that make us feel good and make us feel accomplished in whatever form that is. And that will look different for everybody.
I love that word coexist with your inner critic, because sometimes, like you said, getting it to shut off or shut up and go away, it's like this whole grieving process, right? It mm-hmm. doesn't go away. We are not going to sit here and say it's easy, it goes away, but can we learn to work through it? Like you said, develop a relationship, create that foundation. I love that.
Yeah, it's inner critic I'm going through a leadership mentorship program right now. And one of the first things that we did was inner critic work. And of course, you know, in this work, we need to acknowledge inner critic is there, but this helped me to see it in such a different light of, inner critic is part of us. And if we start hating on the inner critic, it really is hating a part of who we are. That mm-hmm. inner critic exists to protect us, you know, because it's trying mm-hmm. to keep us safe from something. And when we look at it in those terms, it's like, oh, thanks. Thanks for looking out for me, but I got this. I can take it from here, but thank you. And if I need you, I'll let you know, you know?
Right.
And that, I think, helps us to be, again, more loving toward ourselves. It gets us into that self-compassion mode instead of that, oh, I'm so angry. You know, I want to just banish this voice. She's not going anywhere. She's just not.
Right. Oh, that's so good. It's me, Katie. And in case you haven't already noticed, I kind of care about you getting results. Now, I'm not talking about results as far as body fat composition or the number on the scale, but I'm talking about implementing the things that you are learning here each and every week. Head on over to Facebook and just search Fit Friends Tribe to request to join our group. This is a free Facebook community where we talk about the podcast episodes each week, and I give you action steps on how to implement what it is that we talked about so that you're not just listening, learning, and absorbing information, but you're part of that top percent, that top 2% that actually takes action and changes their life. So facebook.com, search Fit Friends Tribe. I'm going to ask you a few questions to make sure you're not some weirdo from Antarctica, and we'll let you in. See you there. All right, back to the show. So what about, you know, I'm imagining the woman who has dieted her whole life. She's now facing some health issues, whether it's, you know, new diagnoses, whether it's physical health, mental health, but she's nervous to take this non-diet approach. What advice would you have for her?
Yeah, that's another good question. And I'm so glad you asked it, because, you know, this can happen at any age. You know, I mean, it may be more likely with women that are aging, especially women that are peri and menopausal, because once the hormone drop happens, the reality is that things happen in the body. And again, that is as we are designed, right? So that's also a grieving process. And that is very hard to really accept. But the reality is that dieting, I really encourage people to look at their history, you know, because that is where keeping that green, I think, is what helps people to stay on course, you know. Remembering, I'm very into somatic work. So like remembering how it feels in your body to be on a diet the way that made you feel probably a little bit anxious, maybe in the beginning a little bit excited. You know the cycle. You start to lose weight. Oh, how exciting. You fit into your old jeans. How exciting. Yeah, but then that's over. And then it's white knuckling. I can't eat that cookie. I can't eat that whatever. And then, as we know, very shortly after, or within 3 to 5 years, sometimes a month, it starts to creep back on. And remember that feeling too, because that feels pretty bad. And then people walk around feeling really shameful, because once the accolades stop with the, oh, good for you, you've lost weight, you look fabulous, as if you looked so horrible before. Mm-hmm. That feeling of that shame and that dread of, oh my God, what am I going to do, starts all over again. So I really encourage people to keep that very green, and also to look at what their other options are. I mean, obviously you and I are big, you know, proponents of intuitive eating, because the fact of the matter is the research is there. Mm-hmm. You know, working through these issues, improving the relationship with food, making self-care a priority, has excellent long-term results, and they're sustainable. So if we can really just understand why we are doing that, you know, and mostly it's because our doctors are fatphobic. Diet culture is preaching that we need to be a certain weight in order to be, in quotes, healthy. None of that's really true. So, you know, I think it's an opportunity for people to reevaluate their belief system and to really look and see what they want. Do they want to be on edge all the time? Do they want to be saying, I can't eat that because of this? Or do they really want to look at movement, look at gentle nutrition, look at what it could be like to be free, truly free? And an added bonus, most likely improve their metabolic health. I don't know. That's a bonus to me. Like, I don't know. It's a no-brainer. But, you know, I've already been through the process. So in the beginning, yeah. I may not have thought that. But that's why I got help, because I wanted that. And I was very blessed that I was able to do that, because I am not sure that I could have done it on my own. And I was scared because I was floundering. And I said, I really want this. And so I got help, because I said, this is important and I can't keep doing this. I just can't, you know? And so I didn't.
That's such good advice. Anybody listening, pause, rewind, listen to that again, because you really boiled it down to identifying what it is that you want to feel, how it is that what you want to feel. And if that's hard to identify, what is it that you don't want to feel?
Yes.
Right. Ugh. So yeah, those gross yuck feelings of mm-hmm. that cycle. I mean, I feel that when you describe it, you described it so well.
It's just horrible. And I know my description of ugh isn't exactly the best, but it is just remembering it. I literally get this almost like nauseated feeling when I remember, because for me, it was so many times I did the cycle so many times. And I remember the high, and I remember crashing and thinking, oh my God, I did it again. And now I know so much more. And I think, what did I do to my body? What have I done to my body? And that makes me really sad. And I have worked through forgiving myself for that, because honestly, I didn't know better. Mm-hmm. But it's sad, because it's not necessary. But people feel pressured by their doctors mostly, and by society, and they're human. They're human. We're all susceptible to it. But like podcasts like this keep it real for people, gives them a different perspective from what many of these other things, other diets, in quotes, diets, which of course they'll say they're not, but we know that they are, you know, keeps it real. It gives them another choice. And this is the way to go. This is the road to take, not the other. This is what will bring them true freedom.
I love how you said, though, you do have a choice, right? You do have a choice. And whoever's listening and feels that pull, do a little digging, right, on both sides, but also recognize that you do have a choice and you don't have to make that decision alone, right? And the beauty of intuitive eating and this, you know, non-diet approach is that it's not all or nothing. It's not you, okay, mm-hmm. I'm in, okay, I'm out. You know, it's fluid. It's dynamic. And like how you said with this whole movement piece, it's a journey. It doesn't happen overnight.
Absolutely. 100% agree.
Well, this has been, I mean, you have given us so many golden nuggets, so much value here today. And I always, I mean, we love to dream big here on Fit Friends Happy Hour. So I want to hear from you, Michelle, you know, what are your goals for yourself? And whether it's personal, as a business leader, as an owner, you know, tell us.
Well, business-wise, you know, I just want to continue to grow my practice and continue serving people in my community and doing podcasts and, you know, summits and wherever else I'm asked, because to me, it's such an honor. And, you know, I really, with this leadership program that I'm doing, I have done mentorship work before with youth, and I really want to help young women or even like into their early 20s develop more in terms of like finding what is their true authentic self, giving them tools to quiet that inner critic, to really understand fear and the different components of it so that they can be the people that they are put on this earth to be. Because that inner critic is extremely cunning. And if we learn to, like I said earlier, coexist, and if they're given tools early, they, I believe, will be in a much better position to lead, you know, and that's what we need. We need more women leading. And certainly, whatever people's political feelings are, you know, having someone who is now going to be our VP, a woman, is to me setting such a precedent for women of all ages, you know, and it's very exciting. This is a whole new chapter in our lives. So it's exciting.
Yeah, it is pretty wild to think about just history and just how much it's exciting.
It is. It's really exciting. And I'm glad that I'm here to witness this, you know, so that's professionally and just personally, I just want to keep growing. I'm always in trainings and everything I learn, I'm like, oh, well, I can use that for this with my clients. And it's really goes right back into my work, because honestly, this isn't work for me. This is who I am, you know, and it's, to me, the biggest blessing that I've ever been given. So I want to share wherever I can. And, you know, I do private and then I do more affordable coaching, because I understand that not everybody is in a position to do one-on-one, nor does everybody want to do that, you know? So trying to touch as many lives as I can, because I know what it's like to not feel enough. And it really stinks on so many levels. So I've also been marginalized. So, you know I get it, you know, and I don't want people to feel that way. So I love that I have learned tools over the years that I can impart on people who are open to it, and that I can help in a tiny little way to change, to help them transform, because that's what we need more of, happy people.
Yes. That's amazing. You're amazing. Tell us, before we wrap up here, you also have a new program out. Tell us more about that.
Oh, yeah. I have a program called Joyful Movement at Last, and it's what it says. It's to discover joyful movement for women of all ages. Really, it deals primarily with exercise resistance and people just, they're not moving. They want to move and yet they're stuck between, like I said earlier, that whole I want to, but I get stuck in diet mentality. And so they're afraid. So they slip and slide into inaction. And so this addresses like many of the things like perfectionism, inner critic, self-sabotage, overwhelm, all of those things, the not enough type stuff also. And addresses it in a very gentle, compassionate way so that people can really start to see what is underneath all of that. It's not because they're lazy. It's not because they're bad people. It's because there is stuff that needs to be untangled. And this program really helps to get to the root so that they can be, oh, I want to be free and I want to go walking, or I want to do whatever joyfully without getting sucked back into that vacuum that we call diet culture. Ew. So that's what it's about. And and it's a self-study, but I do have a wonderful Facebook group, members-only Facebook group that services the women, and I do fun videos, and I just to keep people engaged, you know, so that they know that they're not alone, because it can be very lonely. You know, that's why people seek you, you know, in addition to all the other services you offer. It's not easy to kind of get moving when you haven't been. And it can be lonely and it can be a little bit, you know, challenging. So all of these things help people to move again.
Yeah. It can feel daunting. And I love that you created this, because I think there is definitely a gap, because like we talked about earlier, it's more than motivation.
Absolutely.
it's deeper than that. And once we can, like you said, unpack that and dig into that, I mean, you can't go back. You can learn this stuff, which is the good part of it.
That's exactly right. Yeah, all of this stuff, right? I mean, that we teach is like, you can't unlearn this. And even if you don't, you're not able to implement it right away, the seeds are planted. You can't unplant them. So you just got to water them a little bit and then they start to sprout, you know, which is what we want, you know?
Love that. Love that. So we're going to finish with a little bit of a rapid fire. So tell us, nice fun on the hot seat. What is your favorite podcast right now?
Recently, it's Unlocking Us with Brené Brown.
I've heard so much about that one, but I have yet to listen. So I will definitely add that to my list.
Yeah, I got to tell you, the Sonya Renee Taylor interview blew my hair back, and I've had to listen to it, and I've recommended it to clients. That woman is wow. That's all I have to say. She's wow. Yeah.
Okay, adding it to my list. I will listen to that this week.
Yeah.
What about your favorite beverage?
It's a toss up between kombucha and unsweetened iced tea.
Ooh. You know, I had a hard kombucha for the first time I found at Trader Joe's. It was interesting. I was like, this is either going to be really good or really bad. And it just tasted like kombucha.
Well, I get a little tipsy just on regular kombucha. So if I had hard kombucha, I would just fall asleep. Like I have always had like a very low tolerance. So I literally have like two sips of kombucha and I'm like, ooh, wow. It's like, it's kind of fun.
Yeah. I think people don't realize it. Yeah. That does actually have.
It does.
Ton of alcohol in it. It's so funny.
Yeah.
Sweet or salty?
Mostly salty, but sometimes it's sweet. Mostly salty, though, I would say.
Yeah, me too. I'm more salty.
Yeah.
And what is the best thing that has happened to you this week?
Oh, I got some client love on one of my Instagram posts. I was really vulnerable yesterday and a couple of my clients chimed in. And I even get emotional just because the love just makes my heart. I said, I really needed that. Thanks. You know, I was just having a really vulnerable day and they gave me just what I needed. So it was beautiful.
And isn't that fun when your clients start coaching you? Yeah. You're like, okay, this is good.
Yeah. Being vulnerable is hard. And I always am like, oh, do I want to do this? And I said, yeah, because that's part of life, you know? Mm-hmm. And then when you receive that beauty, it's like, okay, thank you, universe. I heard you, you know?
Yeah. Oh, so good. So good. Well, again, it has been such a joy having you on the podcast today. Where can our listeners find you if they want to connect?
My name, that's my website, michellevinabaltis.com. And I have a great Facebook group called the No Diet Sisterhood. And we talk about all stuff, no diet, you know, and it's really fun. And I love my group. And Instagram is my name. So, you know, it's been great. This has been really fun. Thank you so much for having me.
Love it. And we'll be sure to link to all that in the show notes. Thanks again, Michelle.
Thank you, Katie.
Thanks for listening to this episode of Fit Friends Happy Hour. If you liked this episode, don't forget to share it with a friend. You can subscribe to the podcast on Apple Podcasts or Stitcher. You can also find us on Instagram and Facebook at Fit Friends Happy Hour. Talk to you next time.